When I was a kid, when we actually played outside, some of us remember those days, you were told, don't come home until it's dark. We would play a game called King of the Mountain. Climb the big rock and keep the others from coming up and getting to the top before you, throwing people off and stepping on fingers and short victory. Victory was declared when you stood at the top with both feet planted on that rock, shouting, I'm king of the mountain. You guys know it. It's like a ditty. Dumb game, but feet on a solid rock just feels right. If a company is doing well, we'll hear that's a solid company. In other words, they're trusted. Elon Musk, who is a technology entrepreneur, investor, and engineer, CEO with companies like SpaceX down at Cape Canaveral, Tesla, these fancy, very expensive electric cars, and PayPal, said great companies are built on great products. So this isn't really new. This isn't really a news flash, but there are detectable things in our culture that we say, wow, that's solid. Yeah, I can trust that. And we like things that are solid. You remember this one, Prudential Insurance had the motto, get a piece of the rock. Somehow the rock idea resonates with people. And if you remember, Chevrolet was on this theme, like a rock with their trucks. You might remember the commercials that sounded like this.
Stood there boldly, sweating in the sun. Felt like a million, felt like number one. Like a rock, I was strong as I could be. Like a rock, nothing ever got to me. Like a rock, I was something to see. Like a rock,
the trucks you can depend on, the trucks that last.
Like a rock,
Chevy trucks.
The all-new 2014 Chevy Silverado is strong for all the roads ahead.
Be like the pastor, go buy yourself a Chevy. Okay. Well, childhood games, successful companies, durable vehicles, everybody appreciates things that are solid and last, because the fact is everything in this life is subject to death and decay. I submit to you the only remedy, the proven victory, the true solid rock that can be trusted is a person who loves you, took on death and separation from God for you, resurrected from the dead for you, and is coming for you. His name is Jesus. Many here know him. Question is, do you know him? Is it any wonder this truth of this light needs to continue to shine? Jesus said while he was here on this earth, therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, he will be likened to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house and did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus would also, in John's gospel, and by the way, if you don't have a gospel of John, they're in those little gift bags. If you want to take one with you, there's some on the table. And certainly the gospel of John is in your Bible. But Jesus says, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has everlasting life and will not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. That's in John's gospel, chapter 5, verse 24. Let's talk about built on the solid rock. I promised you last week that we're going to start going through the book of Colossians, little four-chapter book. It is one of the prison epistles that the apostle wrote. Paul actually penned 14 of the letters in our New Testament. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. He's all things when he explains church matters and what is the church. We want to always be careful and pay attention to his instruction so that we're not missing. All the Bible is the word of God. Specifically, Paul's letters are there to instruct us on church matters. The here and now. What are we? What are we supposed to do? What is God doing? How do we make sure that we are doing what He wants us to do? See, the light continues to shine in the dark world. I think it's rather interesting that the name of this church is Grace, which is a huge component of what we celebrate and proclaim weekly. We're told that we're a lighthouse. We're told that we're, and a lighthouse basically is a warning. And I'll give you a story at the end of the message this morning, so you've got to stay awake, right? But, a lighthouse really, it's a planted house that shines light. And basically, because that's a warning zone, if you get closer, you're going to go up on those rocks. And we always want to make sure that as a church that we're shining bright the light and asking God to help us best shine the light always. So I'm going to ask you, if you have your Bible, you certainly can turn there. I'm going to read from Colossians chapter 1. The words are up on the screen. Chapter 1, Colossians verses 1 to 8. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Out of the 14 epistles, four of them, Paul actually writes from prison. So he's in chains. He's in prison for his stance for Jesus. Because in the Mediterranean world and in the Jewish world, to stand for Christ had consequences. But Paul knew, as God revealed to him, he was set apart from his mother's womb. You got to know a little bit about this guy. He was formerly a direct enemy of Jesus Christ. God loves to save his enemies. And that's what he'll do. Every one of us, the scripture says, that we were enemies of God. Like, what are you talking about? Well, because of our condition called sin that we brought into the world, it's got to be dealt with. And Jesus is the full demonstration of that being done for us. But the apostle was an enemy of Jesus, and Jesus gets a hold of the apostle Paul in a very powerful way. And you could actually see that in the book of Acts, right about chapters 8 and 9. What amazing encounter. Well, anyway, Paul goes on to be a servant of the Lord Jesus and would go through many dangerous toils and snares, as the wonderful hymn says in Amazing Grace, for the glory of God, to bring forth this message that you and I still get the benefit to hear today. That if a pastor's a faithful pastor, he's getting his cues from this book. An effective pastor listens to the scripture. He doesn't ignore the Bible, especially on matters of the church. And so, here's the awesome thing about this little letter. There's a lot of affirmation in these first 8 verses. And the good news is that in what we're going to look at this morning, is that sometimes before you can give people bad news, you've got to tell them what they already have. And there's some really tough stuff that he's going to take on, because word has come back to Paul in prison that this church that was founded by Paul and by Epaphras and others at that time were now under attack with false teaching. And that's the problem with all of our lives, is that we are susceptible to false teaching. And we can believe lies and we can make up things that really aren't true because they make us feel comfortable. And there's big pushes on that in our culture. So if you want to talk about, is the Bible relevant now? It's absolutely relevant, because it stands on one central truth. It's the grace of God, that God gives his own son to the world, Jesus. That's what we just came out of celebrating Christmas. But when we understand the magnitude of who was this little baby that grew up perfectly without sin and lays down his life on the cross for us, listen to him, because not only did he lay his life down, he resurrects. And he appears to 500 witnesses, and he basically gives the commission to the church, you will be my witnesses in Acts chapter 1. And so our faith is on solid rock because we serve a resurrected Christ. And the scripture says that when we see him, we're going to be like him. That the believer really should have no fear. I live this life with knowing that I am in Christ. I have the righteousness of Jesus because he gave it to me. And you too. That's what the church is. It's people who celebrate the gift of God that was given to them freely. They didn't earn it, they received it. And when you receive it, you can grow in this grace by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is your power. He's your true power. It's not your own power. It's not your own dedication. It's generated by the work of the Spirit in your life and my life, so that when we serve God, we actually know what to do. And that's awesome. I can't believe this place just blossoming. Like you guys were banging into each other in the parking lot. I mean, it seems like it's happening more and more. No accidents, but just that, you know, people are working hard to get in this building. And I praise God for that. I praise God for what he's doing here. And I'm not going to stop doing this. Thank you. Yeah, I may be like down to a whisper by the end, but, you know, I'll just read my lips, okay? In this epistle, the apostle is instructing this church, those who are already in Christ. I love some of the words that Paul uses here. See, we've got baggage with some of these terms that we don't realize. There's a movement today to elevate people to sainthood status. And Paul calls every believer a saint. A saint is set apart by Jesus because you trusted him. Now, he also says here in verse early in the chapter, he says, faithful brethren. So you can still be a saint and be unfaithful. You can be somebody that's not really on board, but you're in Christ. And we just want to get you on board. We want to get you on board with what God's doing. So Paul's addressing really two groups here. Those who you are in Christ and those faithful servants who are actually standing for the gospel here. That's who he's addressing. So he's instructing the church, those who are already in Christ. Jesus brings true deliverance, and Paul will show doctrinally how to develop and deploy the believer's true resources that belong to him or her, and how to shut down false teaching that is keeping you from growing in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe every day for the believer should be somewhat of a party. I am righteous with God because of Jesus. Amen. I have all the resources that God has. He may let me go through some difficulty, oh well, but I can know him better. Paul says, in Paul's imprisonment, in Philippians, he's writing again, these are wonderful little epistles he writes. He says, I want to know him. Okay, so these chains that I'm in, Paul says, it's really, actually, the gospel's going forth because of these chains. He actually refers to in one of his letters that the whole guard is now listening to him. Somebody said to me when they were going through cancer, and he taught me this. He said, because my wife has gone through leukemia, and not many of you know that, and is well on the other side of that horrible disease. But I preached in a church, and the guy said to me, you know, he's telling me he had cancer, and he goes, you know, he goes, I've just really learned to let this cancer be what God wants to do. He's a former pastor too, and he said people would often say to me, hey, I'm so sorry about your cancer. He's like, don't be sorry. We wouldn't have met. You know? So sometimes it's your perspective. I tell you, some of the most fruitful times in my own walk was when my wife was going through some of her darkest times. Because we met people and we could witness to people. We could share Christ with people and bring people our hope. And I see what Paul is doing here, and I put a few notes in the back of your bulletin. You certainly, and some of these will be up on the screen. I see Paul pointing out what is a true birth process and what it looks like. And when it takes root, it produces awesome, genuine stuff by the grace of God. He is helping them be the lighthouse that is built on the solid rock. And let's notice the pattern here. Before he helps with any problem they're facing, he affirms with the following. He affirms with genuine gratefulness their faithfulness. So he's grateful for them. That's a byproduct of the Holy Spirit. It's okay. There are times where it's like, yeah, I have expectations for this church, and I want things to happen here. But you know what? Nothing should get in the way of my gratefulness. It's not because things are just moving and we're doing all this great stuff. I want to be grateful for what God's doing in you. How he's building you, how he's depositing things in you that are eternal and everlasting, and they're good. They're good things. So there's a work of the Spirit in the hearts of these believers. And Paul says, before we go into any of the problems that you guys are facing with, I want to affirm you with a gratefulness. I'm grateful to God for you. I feel like I'm like going through puberty. Sorry. Just keeping it light. His genuine faithfulness. So he sees their genuine faithfulness and he sees their genuine fruitfulness. I've seen a lot of good fruitfulness in this church and just things that are happening and people who care about each other and the way that people know that, you know what, I didn't deserve this, but you know what, this place is actually a blessing. There's things that are happening here that we want other people to get in on. Genuine gratefulness in verses 1 to 4, I believe, flows from what God has done by his grace in the life of a believer. So often I think when a person actually becomes a Christian, I mean that you're not born a Christian. We think that's like, oh, I was born into a home that, you know, we went to church. A Christian is somebody who actually received life from Christ. They asked him for life. It doesn't just magically come to you. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with the living Christ, the resurrected Jesus, who says, I will forever live to make intercession for you. In other words, I'm going to represent you, and I'm going to pray for your success on planet Earth while you're here, however long time that is, for any of us. So Christ is he's our chief shepherd. He's the one that we stand for. We represent him. We represent his finished work. We represent his great grace, and we want people to know that. The scripture says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Can you just imagine hanging out with Jesus? While he was here, and the kindness that he demonstrated, the love, sometimes the firmness, sometimes the all-out problems that he took on because he saw people who were using the law of God for the wrong reasons. And really calling him things that he was the fulfillment of those scriptures. And they're speaking vile things to him to the point that he lets them nail him to a cross. But God knew this would happen. It's not a big surprise to God. Jesus is not God's plan B. He's God's plan A. This was determined before the foundation of the world that Christ would leave heaven and come to be our rescuer. So that now your feet could be standing on the solid rock while you're standing right now in 2019. And God can do that. He can do that. So he can make you strong. And that's why you've got to learn to read the Bible, because what you're really reading is you're reading for your safety. You're reading. It's like how many people actually use GPS these days? You don't even use a roadmap anymore, right? We used to use roadmaps. You put it in, or you write it down. I don't know. Somehow you got there, right? I don't know. Maybe we used to know how to think more. But you know, seriously, it's like the scripture is the GPS to get you safely home to heaven. That's the way you want to think about it. You want to think about it in terms of its navigation. It's how to succeed. It's how to overcome sometimes what is a resistance force in every one of us. I don't feel very cooperative at times with God. Oh my goodness, do I want to be? Oh yes. But the remedy for that struggle is taught to me in Romans chapter 7. Paul says, the good I would, I don't. Right? It's no longer I who sin, it's sin that dwells in me. I'm only seeing what was already there. But the remedy for that is what happened on the cross. By receiving that, I'm credited to righteousness. By now the Spirit's power, I'm going to actually go on to navigate successfully by the Word of God. So people say, well, the Bible's so limiting. No, it's not. It's your protection. God wants you free. He wants you free. He formed you, made you. He birthed you. And he also wants to give you new birth. Don't leave life without new birth. We all need it. We all need, Jesus says, you must be born again. Okay, so you need new life. And that comes from simply, God, I know I can't save me. You can. I receive your grace in my life right now. The scripture says when you do that in faith, you receive eternal life. It won't be taken away from you either. Now you want to grow in that. That's the thing that I think a lot of Christians are shocked when they realize this thing is actually hard to live. You know, living the Christian life can sometimes feel like a struggle. But see, you're doing it for the glory of God anyway, because you really, in one sense, you already got what he promised you. You're just waiting it for it to be fully realized. God is going to have an adoption service. He's going to declare you mine publicly. Publicly. We're just waiting for all that to happen. But you're already, the adoption papers in one sense are already in process. They're done. It's a done deal. How do we know this? The Bible tells us these things. And so gratefulness, and I see this in the apostle's tone here, he's grateful, he's giving thanks. He says, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is he the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he took on death and was victorious, as we sang this morning. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. And Paul would say, we're praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ. Prayer is amazing. You're accessing God. You're accessing the power of God. You look at these planets and everything that just sort of just keeps going and going, and the sun shining and the fact that we get rain and, you know, those plants and the beauty of creation. It didn't happen by accident. God did it. But he's capable. He's quite capable of caring for us. He's quite capable, and he loves it when we trust him. I need this message as much as you do. I'm preaching this at me this morning, but don't leave. But, and he's encouraging them for their genuine faithfulness. And you'll see that in Colossians 1, verses 4 and 5. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints. I mean, I guarantee you, if I didn't stop you guys from greeting each other, you'd lose track of time. And I see that here. It's awesome when I hear, hey, I'm talking to so-and-so, and hey, pastor, you know, I help meet this need, or hey, we want to help this person. And I have phone calls that tell me that people's needs are being met in this place all the time. And I'm grateful. I was looking at our finances for the year last and how much money we gave out from our benevolent fund to help people. I mean, our just a generous little church. We blessed a lot of people who are doing missionary work across the world. And I get these thank you notes, and people are like, pastor, thank you. And I think that's the testimony that Paul was receiving. This is genuine fruit. This is coming out of your lives. It's not by you, but it's what the Spirit does. It's what the Holy Spirit does. Jesus says, when I go, speaking of him going to the cross and then going back to heaven, I'm going to send another in my place. And Jesus at that time called him the Comforter. And he is the Holy Spirit, who is your seal till you see him. That is awesome. He's your seal. He's more than your seal. He's your daily presence of power, because in you is a brand new nature that God put there, and that needs to grow. And the only way that the new nature grows is by the Spirit's help. The Spirit will help you to develop what God really wants. And then those things start to emerge, and they look like genuine gratitude. They look like genuine faithfulness. And it also is genuine fruitfulness. Things that really are the good things that come out of your life. Oh, I just love it when, you know, you just see somebody doing something because just spontaneous. I want to do this because I want to do it. There's no manipulation here. We're not trying to do something just to get something. We're trying to do this because we just want. I just love that stuff. There's a woman in our church who just gives me poems every week. Gives me her special writings, and I feel like I don't deserve this, but she's writing stuff for me, and she says, I want you and your family to have this. I want this. I'm like, this is, you don't realize the ministry of encouragement that sometimes just comes from people who just want to show you their love, and it's awesome. I believe that's the byproduct of the new birth in Jesus. If you're not a poet, don't worry about it. You might become one. And sometimes, you know, you guys think there are gifts that God puts in the believer, and sometimes they don't just, you don't even see how they get developed till after you're in Christ. You got the courage and the guts to develop something that God put in there. And that to me is awesome. When you see creativity flowing through people out of generosity because they want to love Christ. That's why I think if a church is being moved in a new direction, you got to trust God, because he's going to do that work. He's going to supply. He's going to give. He's going to bless with creativity. He's going to show what can be done. And people get behind a vision. People get excited about what's possible, because God never stops giving. And Satan, our real enemy, is going to try to silence us. Satan is the enemy of Jesus Christ, and he hates Christians because he had us. But we've been moved, as somebody said this morning, from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light. And Jesus does that transfer the moment you receive him. Oh, it's a hallelujah. It's a big one. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Now we're talking. Okay. Paul talks about, see, I think the other cool thing that we want to not miss here is Paul is saying here, as we talk about laying that right foundation, the right foundation of thinking is that my ultimate hope is with Christ in this life. I mean, my heart broke yesterday. I was watching on Fox News a funeral for the officer killed out in California. I'm just like, this guy is leaving behind his wife and his 5-month-old baby. I got tears in my eyes. Just praise God. Jesus deals with all this stuff. This is the hope that the believer has. As ugly as this life can get, and as I shared last week as a little launch into this study, I actually was in Colossians chapter 3 just as sort of a freebie. This is ultimately, Paul would say, keep seeking the things above, not the things of this earth. Because the things of this earth will sometimes just, they can be disruptive and they hurt. Oh, Christ knows that. He knows that. He knows that. He has not left you as orphans. It's awesome when things work out, but sometimes they don't as we think they should have worked out. But see, the eyes of faith see beyond that. I know what God's doing here. See, you can't get out of Christ. You're in Christ as a Christian. You're in him. You have life in him. You have hope. You have everlasting hope because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth, the gospel. See, we don't need reinventions of spiritual truth. We've got the record. The record of God is here. This is for everyone. You don't need to make this stuff up. You don't have to dream up your own version of this or find some makeshift version. You go with God. I say that in love. I know. Sometimes I want to make sure you hear my heart about this. Reliability is a big part of faithfulness. Every area of the church is a ministry. Every area. Do you realize you may never know this side of heaven how God used your service to reach somebody for him? That's why sometimes we can get so, like, you know, we underestimate what God wants to do through us. We even think in the little things. Well, it doesn't really matter. It really doesn't matter. It matters. It 100% matters. I've been thinking about this. Everything, a church directory, stuffing bags, you name it. What we do, clean this church, keep it going, keeping people happy in one sense, letting them keep sensing the love of Christ. That's all ministry. That's ministry. Ministry is care. It's concern. It says when we have a Thanksgiving dinner, we're gonna fill this place, as many as 200 people that came in. Because we care. We want people to know Christ. It's not just for our reputation. I want people to know him. And Pearl, you did a good job. And Jim's here today. And hey, Jim. Jim got on the front page. It was just awesome the way God worked out these things, giving us good coverage on the Wareham Week. But God does this. You know he's going to reward you for faithful service. Jesus says, I'm coming and my reward is with me. It's awesome that Jesus sees what you do. Right? And he already took care of our sin. So people think, well, I'm so guilty before God. Jesus took care of that for you. You are free to serve him now. Paul says, you know, we want to be moved by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. Don't just gratify the old nature. We can easily do that thing. We don't want to be there. But so don't be beating yourself up. If you are in Christ, the Bible says you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Okay, now you just need to make room for more of the new. And just let that. And that's what I think Paul's going to go after here. He's setting these people up for success to deal with things that are coming at them. And we dealt with some of that in the book of Galatians of legalism. Legalism is Jesus plus something else. Do you realize how simple it is to say, I know I'm right with God because of what Jesus did for me? But you realize sometimes that just messes with us. We feel like, it's got to be something I can do. I got to do something, right? The scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's enough to exercise your will and your heart in that direction towards him. And he says, I'm going to do what I told you I'd do. I'll save you. I'm going to keep you out of eternity in hell. And I am going to set your feet on solid rock so you can grow. Be the person that I intended for you to be. A lot of us know Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, right? Plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. Certainly a promise to Israel. But there is overlap here, I believe, that we can expect things from the Lord. And that's why fruitfulness is what he points out. He says, "This is because you've responded to this glorious grace of God, it's bringing forth fruit among you, and it's also, I'm getting word that your witness is affecting a lot of people." And see, these people learned it from faithful people. That's why, you know, Brother Dennis is doing a great job in our Sunday school class, so show up at 9 o'clock. Fill the parking lot even earlier. If you want to grow, you really want to grow in fruitfulness, you need to learn the Word of God. We got a program for our kids, and we'll get that even stronger if you know children who could be here. See, this is the outpouring. The natural outpouring for the believer is gratitude, faithfulness, and fruitfulness. That should be the things that should be emerging out of us. And you see that spelled out here by the apostle in these first eight verses. And I love the way he closes off here. He says, Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. In other words, this is their pastor. He's declared to us your love in the Spirit. In other words, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's called the fruit of the Spirit. Paul says against these things, you can't make up laws to stop that stuff because it just keeps flowing. That's the flow factor from the Spirit of God. And God is a giver, and he's never stopped giving. I know I really want this church to be a stronger lighthouse. You may have heard this story. The captain of a ship looked into the dark night and saw a light in the distance. Immediately he told the signalman to send a message, alter your course 10 degrees south. He promptly received a reply, alter your course 10 degrees north. The furious captain sent another message, alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a captain. Soon another reply was received, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a seaman, third class Jones. The captain sent a final message, alter your course 10 degrees south. I'm a battleship. The reply was, alter your course 10 degrees north. I'm a lighthouse. A lighthouse can't change its message. It just needs to stand and shine. A lighthouse that's built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, we can trust that God will lead people through that light to him. And that is my prayer for 2019. More ways than ever. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity that we have to be together, to process your word together, to think about how to truly let these emerging things of faithfulness, of fruitfulness, Lord, these factors that are going to make us what you want us to be, this attitude of gratitude that can flow from our lives just because we know that we're new in Christ. We thank you for what you're doing. I ask you to bless the people that are in this church today, Lord. You will strengthen them. You will empower them that they will know you. I pray, Father, if there's anyone here this morning that says, I just want to know that I'm in Christ, I'd be delighted to pray with you this morning. Just be delighted. But just let you know before you walk out the door. If that's you this morning, you just want to slip up your hand, feel free. I'll just pray for you a simple prayer. Lord, I pray that we as a church would recognize our true purpose for functioning in a dark world, to shine the light of the gospel, to be delighted in doing that. And thank you for what you are doing. We ask your blessing, Father, in these coming days. Please lead us as a church leadership. Please lead our people, Lord, to find those places of service within our church that would be a blessing to more and more people. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for what you've done in your Son for us. And we can only say, hallelujah, what a Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'm just going to ask Ginny and Kevin, who are just dear parts of this church, they're going to be up here this morning. If you want prayer, they're just going to be here. Ladies, you want to pray with Ginny. Guys, you want to pray with Kevin. They'll be praying for you. And maybe trust God for a new thing for 2019. And it's good. I'll give the benediction from the back. Amanda will lead us in a final chorus.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise that we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath that we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath that we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. And I will put my trust in you alone. And I will not be shaken.
Now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Lord bless you.